charge for listeners to buy, sell, or swap items and to discuss what's on your mind. Coffee Chat does not take calls from stores and businesses for free messages. Now call Steve Wynn at 434-645-7400.
And good morning to all of you. This is a very important Coffee Chat, in my opinion. Maybe the most important Coffee Chat in the history of this station. Because of the what is going on in our country, the white-black relationship, people not standing up for the national anthem. But anyway, I've got my good friend. First of all, that will always be true no matter what, whether I agree with him or not. A really good friend, Robert Jones from Blackstone, went to Nottoway High School, starred for the Cougars, for East Carolina Pirates. He was on the Bob Hope TV show, the Bob Hope All-American show, All-American from East Carolina, went to the Dallas Cowboys, won 3 Super Bowl championship rings his first 4 years. That will never happen in my lifetime, and I dare to say that it will ever happen in this area. The most well-known football player in this area ever, Robert Jones. He's got two sons in the NFL, one son in major college football. And Robert Jones, it's been a while. Good to have you on the show.
Steve, man, I appreciate it so much, man. Thanks for the introduction, man. It's so fun hearing your voice, man, because I'm telling you, I've had a lot of people to cover me, you know, over my career.
All right, Robert, I'm going to stop you right there. If you can move into another part of the room or wherever, we're not getting you too good.
Okay, hold on, let me try, because I'm sitting here. I have great reception.
All right, you're better right now. Just talk right into the phone, Robert. I think we're okay now. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
I appreciate the introduction and thank you so much, man. I said it's so fun to hear your voice because I've been covered by a lot of people over my career, and Steve Wynn is at the very top. I felt like you covered me at the very beginning at Nottoway through the state championship, through the just all the accolades and accomplishments in my career. You've kept up with me. I've seen the articles. Every time one comes out in the Blackstone Courier Record, Steve Wynn, I see that name down at the bottom, and it just makes me smile. It takes me back home and makes me smile. So, Steve, man, I appreciate you so much and for all that you've done for not just me, but all the players in that that community. Man, you're one of the best. I appreciate you.
Hey, you don't know how much that means to me. My first memory of Robert Jones was in recreation baseball, folks. He played a little baseball, and I've told this before, I'll tell it again. I've never had any baseball player tell me this. Robert would get to first base. He'd say, "Steve, get that camera over there on the third base bag." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I'm going to steal the next 2 bases. I'll be over to third base in just a minute." You remember that?
I remember that, Steve. I used to have fun, man. I enjoyed, playing baseball. I enjoyed, playing football. For some reason, I just wanted to just watch basketball. So I don't know why I didn't play it, but anyway, I do remember that. I remember all those fun times we had in, was it Wrigglesworth Stadium?
You got it, Wrigglesworth Stadium. And Robert, be honest with me, did any catcher ever throw you out?
Nobody never threw me out.
I didn't think so.
I think I could have made it in baseball if I really tried it. I mean, I love football. I think everybody around there loves football. But I think I could have made it in baseball. And I probably would have been just retired if I played baseball.
So Michael Jordan thought the same thing.
Well, I'm better than Michael Jordan, man. Hey, if LeBron Ball can say he's better than Michael Jordan, I can say I'm better than Michael Jordan too.
You were pretty good in basketball.
Well, I mean, we played the street basketball, so I remember that, Steve, where we played with the chain nets and out there with the
Ford Pickett.
Yeah, man, so We played the street basketball, but I could stop when I wanted to. I didn't have to run. I could say, hey, man, y'all got it. I'll sit in here and defend next time. I just need to catch my breath, something like that. So basketball was not my favorite thing, but I loved just being with the guys in the neighborhood and just having fun.
I loved to shoot, didn't I?
Yeah. Steve, you throw to a Larry Bird.
Robert, first of all, we do have a lot of new people that listen to Coffee Chat since the last time I talked to you. Please introduce your wife and your sons to the audience.
Well, my wife's name is Manisha Jones. I met Manisha in school. She's from York, Pennsylvania. And we have three boys. Caleb Jones, who is with the Minnesota Vikings. And Caleb's on the practice squad, and I do expect him for the next couple of weeks to be elevated to the 53-man roster.
And that's my favorite team, by the way, the Vikings.
It's always been your favorite team, man. It's always been.
Yep.
I knew that's why Minnesota grabbed Caleb. Because of Steve Wynn. But my middle son, Isaiah Jones, known as Zay Jones, and we used to call him Zay Zay when he was a baby.
Right.
Anyway, Isaiah got drafted second round, fifth pick, by the Buffalo Bills, and he starts for Buffalo at the wide receiver spot. And my youngest son, Levi Jones, who plays outside linebacker for University of Southern Cal, the Trojan. And then we have three daughters, Leah, who's 18, Priscilla, who's 15. They both play volleyball and run track. And my youngest daughter, Anna, who does competitive cheerleading. So we got a house full of athletes, competitive people.
And I got to tell you, folks, it was just a couple of years ago, Robert and I were on the phone, and he told me about his children, and I said, he was talking about Levi at the time. I said, Levi, you named him after the old Levi Strauss plant in Blackstone. And Robert laughed as hard as I've ever heard him laugh. He said, Steve, I didn't make that connection. I used to play in that parking lot at Levi's.
I did, man. I'm like, and Levi's
Strauss
plant was right walking to school or walking to Wrigleyville Stadium, you had to walk past that Levi Strauss plant. And who would have known that one day I was going to have a son and his name was going to be Levi, and I'm looking at the big name on the sign walking past the plant, going to Wrigleyville or walking to school or playing in the park across the street from that school on the merry-go-round.
And you never made that connection until I mentioned that.
No, I never made that connection. Steve, you're kind of one of those guys that you pay attention to details, with everything. And you don't forget anything either.
Oh, thank you. But, Robert, the main reason we're talking today, we've been talking about it since Monday on Coffee Chat, the players that are not standing for the national anthem, et cetera. I want your point of view.
You know, Steve, I think it's important for people to understand, the issue of why the kneeling, started in the first place. And Colin Kaepernick, I know that he got a bunch of fans, people that love him. He got a bunch of people that think that he's disrespectful. But, he tried to use the NFL, as a platform to bring awareness to the things that are happening in this country. And what makes me in favor of what Colin Kaepernick did was because I have three sons who are African-American, and football players, for the most part, especially in the NFL, lately has not been getting a good reputation. And so I've raised my boys to conduct themselves in a proper way. If they were to get stopped for a speeding ticket or a taillight or whatever, how to address the police officer. So I've conducted them that way, but I got to tell you, I'm still afraid of what could possibly happen. My heart goes out to the people who've lost their sons, and daughters to these violent crimes. And so when I look at what Colin Kaepernick is doing, it's like Colin is not disrespecting the U.S. or disrespecting the flag. He's just trying to bring awareness to what is happening in America. And I think it just, you know, it changed when Donald Trump made a statement about, you know, what the owners should do. And then everybody started kneeling. And then I'm not sure, and I'm not trying to judge. I'm not here to judge any of those guys, whether they're kneeling for the purpose of why Colin Kaepernick did it, or whether they're kneeling, you know, just to, you know, be mean towards Donald Trump. You know, I respect our president. I respect, you know, some of the decisions that he's made. I don't have to agree with them, because a lot of them I disagree with. But, you know, how can you say that the negative things that you said about people in Mexico, or you want to build a wall, and then when something happens in Mexico, you get a hurricane or earthquake or whatever it is, and then say, I'm praying for the people in Mexico. So you sound like, you know, a hypocrite yourself. So my whole thing is that, you know, it should not be a black-white issue. I'm not racist, but let's understand why they are bringing the awareness, you know, to this issue. And it's not to disrespect the U.S. Again, it's not to disrespect the flag. It's just to bring awareness to what is going on. And I certainly understand, because if you're not an African-American, you won't understand it, because you're not put in those situations. I'm absolutely scared. Even me, I'm 6'2", I'm 255 pounds, and I live in a predominantly, you know, white neighborhood, and I still get looked at funny when I go into grocery stores, or, you know, I ride through the downtown area, and it just bothers me. What would happen? What would I do in these situations? So, you know, I'm open for any kind of question, Steve, that you may have, but that's my take on it. I really just feel like it's just to bring awareness, to bring peace. Colin Kaepernick's mom is Caucasian, you know, so I don't think Colin Kaepernick hates white people. I think he just want to bring awareness to the situation.
All right, Robert. Robert and I, of course, when I lined up this interview, we chatted for a little bit. And, you know, the big concern for our veterans across America, not only veterans, but a lot of people who have a dear heart towards the military, you know, they feel that it's disrespect to the flag, to the national anthem. But you don't feel that it's about the flag, do you?
I don't think it's about the flag. It's a matter of fact. I think everyone knows who Pat Tillman is. Pat Tillman used to play for Arizona Cardinals. He was in the military. As a matter of fact, he left the NFL to go fight, you know, in the war. And it's unfortunate he lost his life.
And he was a white. He was a white guy.
He was a white guy, and his wife sent out a tweet and said, in her tweet, she said that, my husband Pat Tillman fought for the freedom to express for the First Amendment. She listed a couple of things, but I'm like, wow, isn't that interesting, you know, that, you know, a Caucasian lady speaking on behalf of her husband, her deceased husband, you know, in that way. So not all people in the military feel that way. And I have a nephew, Zedrick Ford, who's in the military. He's currently in the military, who texts me, and his opinion is different about what the guys are kneeling for. So he's not against it. So I think there's a lot of people in the military that, you know, understands the situation, and I think there's a lot of people that don't understand. So you're going to have mixed people in the military, out the military, that feels, you know, a certain way about the situation. But the bottom line is that we all need to come together. And I think that's why, you know, the Green Bay Packers are asking everybody to stand together, you know, link arms, you know, for tonight's game, because they're looking to bring peace. It's like, why can't we all just stand together? Why is it just, you know, just about a flag, or, you know what I mean? It's like, let's look at each other as human beings. Like, you know, I'm a human being, you're a human being, regardless of color, race. You know, there shouldn't be a female that's saying I'm beneath a man. There shouldn't be a black man saying I'm beneath a white man. We should all stand together and be one.
And you know, I had a man recently tell me, he said, Steve, I know you've got a lot of black friends, but you never walked in a black man's shoes. And that's true. That's vice versa, too. But here's the thing, Robert, that I've never told the public in my life. This dated back to the 1970s, all right? Even in the 70s, when you played basketball, let's face it, you're going to play with black guys. I mean, it's just the way it is. So I played with a lot of black guys. I like Motown music, and one of my friends called me the N-word repeatedly. I mean, if he saw me at a ballpark downtown, hey, with the N-word directed towards me, and I was white as a sheet. And the thing is, it's been going on a long time, but I just want you to know it can work both ways.
That's right, Steve. I just feel like that there are some people, there are some white people that, you know, they're sincere. You know, I have white friends that are sincere. They understand. You know, they're not against what is going on, meaning the kneeling. You know, but I truly believe that there are some people that don't have awareness. They're clueless about, you know, certain things that black people go through. You know, again, I understand, and I always try to look from, you know, a third position and just try to understand how white people are looking at this, or how a military person is looking at this. Like, if I'm in the military, will I feel like someone's disrespecting, you know, the flag? Now, I always try to put myself in their position, you know, just to try to understand. And I think that if we, you know, if we can practice, you know, the proverb and, you know, and try to understand people instead of, you know, trying to be understood. And I'll say that again, you know, it's what the Bible preached. Like, you know, let's practice more trying to understand instead of trying to be understood. And I think we would be, you know, better people. We can come together better. I mean, all of this stuff, you know, fighting among each other. And I'm not saying that there's some young kids that don't conduct themselves and they black or white, they don't conduct themselves, and they got to suffer the consequences of what's going to happen, you know, from a police officer. You know, but I'm saying, like, let's start teaching our kids. And, like, you know, I'm putting time into my boys. Even though I have a son that's 24, I'm still talking to him. I have one that's 22, one that's 19. I'm still talking to him, and I'm teaching him, you know, son, even though you're 24 years old, yes, you are a grown man, but here's how you have to conduct yourself. If you ever get stopped by a cop, don't disrespect him. I don't care if the cop is 18 years old, he just got on the force. Don't disrespect him. Don't give him any reason to even pull out a gun. You know,
defend
yourself in this manner.
Tell us how your youngest son feels about that, about driving.
Well, right now, my youngest son doesn't even have a license because he doesn't care to drive. He's in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles, you know, police department has been known for, you know, some of the incidents like the, you know, the Rodney King and some of the other things that have occurred in Los Angeles. But he's like, Dad, I'd rather not even have a license because I don't want to even get in a car and even risk, you know, a cop stopping me. And then, you know, over something, you know, like a busted tail light. He said, I'm just scared. I'd rather just go play football and I'll drive later. That's just his mentality about it.
Right.
And I'm sure there's a lot more African-American young men just like him, you know, in this country that are fearful of what could happen if they get stopped. You know, I just feel like that we as a as a country, we need to come together. And again, I can't say it enough, you know, try to understand instead of being understood.
Do you feel that there is some reverse racism too?
I think that racism, and I don't know if it'll ever stop, but I think if people look back and say, okay, the racism in the 60s, did that solve anything? You know, racism in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, you know, if you ask me, it used to seem like it was whites against blacks, but then as the world got older, you know, now there's blacks wearing whites and, you know, vice versa, you know, black females, white men, white females, black men. So,
and there are some blacks against whites too.
There are some blacks against whites, and I think, you know, it's equally, you know, frustrating just as it is whites against blacks. So, you know, you're right, Steve, and I'm glad you pointed out. I'm like, it's, you know, we as black people have to, you know, forget about what happened. When I said forget about it, I don't say don't remember the people that fought for us. I'm just saying that, you know, we're not getting anything solved by retaliating or having a revengeful type of mentality against some of these things that are going on out here.
What do you think this kneeling and some teams not even showing up for the national anthem? You know, what do you think, Robert? What do you think they hope to accomplish?
Steve, I'm going to be honest with you. I can remember when I played in the NFL, there were some games where, you know, Coach Johnson held us inside. Like, we didn't even go out for the national anthem. Like, it wasn't disrespecting. And sure enough, and I don't think people even noticed at that time, but, you know, we were preparing for a game. Like, everything that happened out there in the stadium was for the fans. I mean, we were ready to take care of business.
So y'all wouldn't go out sometimes back in the 90s?
There were some games we didn't even go out. There are some games that we did go out. You know, I think now, it's because of all the marketing, because of all the things that are going on, there's not one major company out here in America that's not associated with the NFL. When you look at Bank of America, Chase Bank, Wells Fargo, AT&T, DirecTV, I mean, major companies all across America are associated with the NFL. And now, you know, back in the days, I think it started like towards the end of my career in the early 2000s where the U.S. flag is pulled across the field. And I don't know if people know that the, you know, the armed forces are paying to have that flag advertised in the NFL. Like, they're not going to do it for free.
Right.
They don't get to do that for free. And I'm not saying that, you know, the NFL keeps the money or the NFL donate. I don't know what they do with the money, but everything is about marketing. You know, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marines are trying to recruit, you know, young men into the Army. What a better place to do it than one of the most watched, you know, sports in the country is to do it at an NFL game. So it became a part of the ritual. So, you know, everything is about the money. Everything is about the money. And it comes down to that. It's unfortunate, but it just comes down to money.
I mean, right.
All the stadiums, the historical names have been taken away. You know, it used to be fun to say Three River Stadium or RFK Stadium or Riverfront Stadium,
right,
or Texas Stadium. Now it's, you know, AT&T Stadium. I think there's three or four stadiums in the league that are AT&T stadiums. You know, nothing significant about it. Bank of America Stadium.
That many AT&T, which one do you dial up?
Which one do you dial up? That's right. So anyway, I'm not knocking anybody from making money, and I'm not against the owners of the NFL for marketing. I'm just saying this is what it's come down to. You know, because I don't remember in 1992 pulling a flag across the field and all the players holding the flag. I just don't remember that. I remember it later part of my career, but I don't remember it at the very beginning. I just think as football evolved, NFL evolved, you know, more and more the marketing, you know, how do we generate more money? How do we generate more cash? I mean, so many TV shows, there's so many programs, talk shows that has evolved, you know, from the marketing and NFL. NFL is such a big target because, you know, to me, they generate the most money.
Oh, it's no question. It's not even close. But the thing is, what do you think as far as, like you mentioned, I mean, it's a known fact, the majority of the NFL players are black. The majority of the NFL fans that fill the seats are white. Do you think this is going to hurt the attendance?
I don't think it's going to hurt the attendance. I think we'll get a real good shot at seeing, you know, if it's going to hurt the attendance tonight. I just don't. I mean, you know, a lot of people are against it, and it may look like that for maybe a week or two, but, you know, as old people say, and time shall pass, you know, this would move on and we will go on to, you know, something else. It'll be a new subject to discuss. But, you know, football is just fun to watch. I mean, there's so many sports bars that are in business because of football. There's so many restaurants that are open because of, you know, the NFL. There's so many companies that sell NFL paraphernalia. You know, if football dies in America, there's so many businesses that would die in America. And I just don't see that happening.
And one thing that I didn't point out, and I should have, there's a lot of white players, obviously, a lot of white players that are going with this movement. And what do you feel about that? I mean, it looks like the NFL, for the most part, is together on this.
Well, I think when you're on a team and you become family, like those guys that are on a team, pick any team, it doesn't even matter. Those guys that are on a team, they are family now. I mean, it's just the way it is. So you feel like it's you against the world. And sometimes we're taught that when we go to play a game, you know, a coach will give an inspiring speech and say, guys, it's us against the world. They don't believe you can win. Well, let's come together as a family. Let's come together as a team. And let's go fight for our common goal is to win the football game. So when you see the white guys kneeling with the black guys, it's because, you know, they've become a family. And I think we can learn something from just, you know, the white guys and the black guys on a football team joining hands together. They're not looking at skin color. They're not looking at, you know, whether this guy's black and this guy's white. You know, they're holding hands and saying, hey, man, we're all brothers. We're fighting together. You know, they're looking at the color of their uniform and say, we're on one team and we're fighting. And that's what we should do. We're looking at, you know, we should look at red, white, and blue and say, we represent the United States. We should fight together, not this black versus white thing. I think we can learn something from every NFL team. We're all on one team. Let's come together and not look at skin color.
One thing that you pointed out, you know, you said you try to put yourself in the other man's shoes. I'm just asking you to speculate. If you were a Marine or an ex-Marine that had served your country, do you think you might feel a little bit different, Robert?
I wouldn't feel different. I mean, you know, when you're in the military, I mean, you're doing a great service. I mean, it's like it's an honor for a man to, or a woman to go out and fight for their country, man. I love that. You know, I would call myself a coward because I don't even have that much courage inside me to go to war and fight for my country. I'd do it if I have to, if I was forced to. But these men that are volunteering, when I say volunteering, I know they get paid, you know, saying, hey, I'm going in the military. I want to go fight for my country.
Right.
I hats off to them. I respect them.
Me too.
But to answer your question, I don't think I would feel any different about the situation. Because it's, you know, I look at it from a team perspective, meaning there's some there's some people that don't like the Dallas Cowboys, and I played for the Dallas Cowboys. But at the end of the day, they knew we were just playing a sport, and we're trying to win a game. You know, so there's going to be some people that don't like us, but we still have to go fight. We still have to go play the game to win.
Well, the last time I checked, Dallas sells the most stuff, though, don't they?
They sell the most stuff.
They got a lot of fans too, but I tell you, Robert, one thing that I was trying to remember to say, and I'm not getting it right now, but I really appreciate you joining me. We will always be the same regardless. And I know what I wanted to say. If corporate America starts pulling off commercials, the NFL starts losing money, the stands are not what they were, would you be against the so-called protest or the players coming together after the game? What about after the game?
Can you repeat that, Steve? Because I lost you just a little bit.
All right. If corporate America started losing money as far as the NFL, some folks pulled their commercials, the stands were not as packed as they used to be, and the NFL had to make a decision, would you be against the players showing solidarity after the game? Not even involving the flag.
Would I be against the players?
Yeah, would you be against them?
I could never go against, you know, my players. I mean, like, I'm an NFL alumni, so it's like once you become a part of that fraternity, you're part of that fraternity, you know, for life. So I could not go against, you know, the players. It's like I said at the beginning, Steven, I know it sounds repetitive. You know, when you're a team, you're a team, you're a team, and you never look at anything on the outside. And when I mean anything on the outside, like, again, we can learn so much from, you know, watching a football game or watching a team. We're together as a team. We don't see no color. We don't see, you know, marketing. We don't see any of that stuff. Regardless of all the marketing that goes on, we only see us fighting together for a common goal at the end of the day. When the clock starts, the game is going on, you know, they're guys that are fighting for a common goal.
Right. So whatever the decision, you are 100% with the players.
I'm with the players. I'm with the players on the field. I'm with the players.
And let's face it, Robert's got two sons in the NFL. I wanted to pass this along. This was a great memory of mine. Robert agreed to speak to the Sportsman Club over in Farmville years ago after one of his Super Bowl victories. I held his son Caleb while Robert gave his speech. Caleb was only about 2 or 3 years old. I kept him quiet and walked him around while Robert gave his speech. And I think we grew more respect for each other that night, Robert.
Yeah,
because
I realized that you're a great babysitter.
Hey, man, great to talk to you. We're going to get some other opinions on here. Stay in touch with me, Robert.
Okay, Steve, no problem, man.
Thanks for everything.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Bye-bye. Robert Jones from Austin, Texas, and, of course, member of the Dallas Cowboys, the St. Louis Rams, the Miami Dolphins last year with the Washington Redskins. What is your opinion? We want to hear from you. Again, I started Coffee Chat by saying if you have your opinion, give it today. And this is my opinion. I've got a lot of black people that respect me, but I feel that some of the black people in the area have not called Coffee Chat because they do respect me and my opinion. Hey, if you differ from what I say, I don't care. I mean, we want to hear from everybody, black and white, that want to weigh in on this situation. We're going to keep it clean, If you don't keep it clean, I can cut you off with the whisk of a button. But let's try to keep it clean. Stay calm. State your opinion. And we're going to have all of that coming up right after this.
The best tire deals in Southside Virginia are available at Strike Force Tire on Route 40 between Keysville and Charlotte Courthouse. Nobody beats the price at Strike Force, and nobody beats their service. Jeff Cohen and his staff take pride in serving your tire needs with excellence and at prices that are substantially less than competitors in the area. They're in business for the long haul at Strike Force, and they know that treating you right ensures your repeat business and your recommendation to friends, family, and associates. That's why Strike Force Tire has gotten off to such an incredible start in the area and why they have become the industry leaders with individuals and businesses all over Southside Virginia. Strike Force Tire on Route 40 between Keysville and Charlotte Courthouse. 434-736-8712. And find out how Strike Force can serve you. 434-736-8712. Strike Force purchases in volume and they pass the savings along to you. Plus, tires are in stock, so they'll install them while you wait, and laser computer spin balancing is included in every installation at Strike Force Tire. It's a little out of the way, but a lot less pay. Strike Force Tire on Route 40 between Keysville and Charlotte Courthouse.
All right, we're going to open up the phone lines for your opinions. What do you think about the people, the players, not standing for the national anthem, not saluting, not saluting the flag, etc.? Hey, good morning. You're on Coffee Chat.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for having me on your program this morning.
Who do I have here?
Yes, my name is Bill Outlaw. I am the chairman of the Nottoway County Republican Party, but that really is not why I'm calling in this morning.
Okay.
First off, I did listen to Mr. Jones' talk with you over the last several minutes, and I would like to commend Mr. Jones for all that he's accomplished. I'm not a sports fan, and I cannot believe or begin to understand all that people that reach that level in professional football have to go through to get there.
I don't ever, and I mean this, I don't ever think we'll ever see somebody with his caliber and fortunate enough to be on three Super Bowl winners his first 4 years with Dallas.
Right, and I think even more importantly, if I understand, he has three boys and three girls.
Right.
Two of the boys are on NFL teams. One is in UCLA playing college football.
USC.
USC, okay.
Yeah.
And his interaction with his boys even today, and he is to be commended for that. His sons are to be commended for their great accomplishments.
Right.
And with that being said, I agree with a lot of what Mr. Jones had to say. I don't agree with everything, but
right.
I think that's just one of the natures of this great country of ours. You know, we can disagree, and if we can reason through it, we can become better as individuals and as a nation.
And I wanted to interrupt you just a second for you folks wondering why I ask a lot of questions that I think were good, but I didn't really state my opinion because I've already done it more than once this week. So go ahead, Bill.
Okay. I come at this entire issue from a very different perspective than Mr. Jones and apparently most of the NFL players. My family has a long and very rich history of service in the United States military. My parents were both in World War II. My mother was an Army nurse. She served in jungle hospitals in the South Pacific for about 2.5 years in conditions that I can't even begin to comprehend.
Right.
My dad was an Army Air Corps pilot, and they were married in the Philippines in 1945, just before World War II ended. My dad went on to serve a career in the Air Force. And in 1966, just before he retired, he swore me into the Army. I spent 41 years in the Army. I turned 21 in Vietnam. I turned 60 in Iraq.
Hey, I salute you. I did not realize you were in the Army for 41 years.
I was a slow learner. But I have a niece. She's a graduate of VMI, and she's in the Army. And I had the privilege a year ago this month of swearing my son into the Army. So we have now 75 years and counting of continuous service in the military.
And that's your son, Will Outlaw?
That's correct.
Okay.
I am very proud of this country. I am very proud of our flag, and I am very proud of our national anthem. When I hear the national anthem, I still get goosebumps, and I've been listening to it for a long time. And with the Kaepernickists, I probably didn't pronounce that very well, but
Colin Kaepernick,
and then throw an istis on the end of it, but there's the law of unintended consequences. And, you know, he may, what Mr. Jones indicated, you know, feel that he is serving a just cause, and maybe in his mind he is. However, the way he's going about it, I think, is we're seeing having some very unintended consequences.
Right.
And regardless of his intentions, there's an old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Right.
And I think we're on a dangerous a slope here with all of this. And I think that, and Mr. Jones mentioned this several times, and I agree with him, that we need to be united. We need to be one. We don't need to be divided. And yet, and I'm just going to read something briefly by a conservative author and radio host, Dennis Prager, which I think sums up the this issue and many others that we're facing in this country. And he talks about leftism and Americanism. And he observes, in a nutshell, Americanism's values are what I call the American Trinity. In God we trust, liberty, and e pluribus unum, which means out of many, one. The left has successfully made war on all three, substituting secularism for God and religion in as much of American life as possible, substituting equality for liberty, and multiculturalism is the opposite of e pluribus unum. Prager points out that multiculturalism emphasizes not the unity of Americans, but the divisions that exist between them in terms of race, gender, and class. He goes on to say that the left sees the world through the prism of race, gender, and class, rather than through the moral prism of right and wrong. One of the more dangerous features of the left, he elaborates, has been its replacement of moral categories of right and wrong and good and evil with the three other categories, black and white, male and female, rich and poor. So what they're preaching is division. And again, you know, there's that old saying, divide and conquer. And when the left can create these divisions, they are achieving their goals. I think it is very sad, and what we see in a lot of instances in this country, and it seems to be particularly prevalent on college campuses, that young people just jump right on something that they hear.
Right.
Without stopping to think critically about, you know, what really is going on here. Does this make sense? Is this honest? Is it true? And I feel too often they are willing to let someone else do their thinking for them. And I think that is largely the case with this issue of NFL players taking a knee. And in my view, they do disrespect the United States of America. They disrespect the flag, and they disrespect our national anthem.
Thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate it.
thank you, Steve, and I hope you all have a wonderful day.
And you know, it's funny how history repeats itself. They'll probably come back out with another version of Marvin Gaye's What's Going On.
can't say I remember that song, but...
That title tells you a lot, what you've been saying, What's Going On.
Well, and we've seen this over time, if you pay attention to this sort of thing, you know, this is going to die out. And it's going to lose the excitement and the uproar that the left media is able to make out of it. And then they'll come up with something else.
Well, I know you didn't want to really speak as a Republican chairman locally, but I do want to ask you this. How do you feel on Donald Trump's stance about all this?
Let me start by saying this, and I know that there have been too many times in my life when I have said something in a way that I wished I hadn't. I could have said it better. And I'm sure that applies to everyone if they'll just take a moment and be honest with themselves. President Trump is no exception. The way he goes about things, the words he uses sometimes don't do his cause justice, but
right.
I think in the final analysis, what he says is right on the money, and I do agree with him, and I do support him.
Thank you for your opinion, Bill. I appreciate you calling.